Welcome to the HRVC Encounter podcast. We are so excited to be back. This is the podcast where we invite a variety of guests to come and chat with us. Join us as we ask them a fun, spontaneous question, and then we discuss current issues, talk about their lives, and pray together.
I'm really excited for this new season, everything that we have in store, everything we've planned so far. We're now available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, which is also really exciting. So if you're listening there, make sure you click follow so that you don't miss out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. So this is the podcast where we ask Rochelle, David and Georgina, do you prefer tea or coffee? David.
All right, well, it's great to be here with you guys. Thank you, Josh and Sophie, for all you're doing. I always like to start the day first with a cup of tea, surprisingly, but coffee is my preferred drink during the rest of the day until I can't really have coffee much later than 3, though, in the afternoon. So black coffee is my favourite of those two.
Wow.
Fair enough. Point coffee. What about you, Georgina?
It has to be a cup of tea and not none of those like fruit teas or herbal teas, a proper English breakfast tea. First thing in the morning, in the evening, I just love tea and I cannot stand the taste of coffee. So has to be
Well, it makes it interesting then, because Rochelle, you're the tie break now.
Yeah.
So that's one tea and one coffee. What about you?
Tea, but without milk and without sugar.
Oh,
okay.
Strong.
Fair enough. I'm a coffee guy, so I'm going to put my point out there as well, so that it's 2-2. And then Sophie, you're the tiebreaker. Oh, I already know what your answer is.
I'm a tea gal, always, but hardly any milk, almost just a drop to make it have milk, but not actually enough to taste it at all, and no sugar, and yeah, strong tea. I'm with Rochelle there.
There we go. But yeah, thank you to everyone who's answered the survey that we had over the break. That was a question that we had right at the end. I think tea won there as well, unfortunately.
Yeah, tea won. 57%, I think, went for tea. Just the winning camp, so I'm very happy.
But it's close, isn't it? Which I'm surprised.
Yeah, but tea still won, so there we go.
Right, let's roll the intro music.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie. I am a host of this podcast. I'm 20 years old and I'm studying at the University of Winchester.
Hi, my name's Josh. I'm another host of the podcast. I'm 19 years old and I'm kind of finishing my time now at Holland Road, as I'm going to be heading to uni in September. But it's still really great to be involved and to be here. David, could you just introduce yourselves for us?
Yeah, hi, I'm David. I'm married to Laura. We have 3 kids, Lila, Amy and Jonah. And I am the senior pastor here at Holland Road.
Great, thank you so much. And Georgina?
Yeah, hi, I'm Georgie. I'm 21 years old and I'm from just outside Winchester. And I go to University of Winchester studying primary education.
Very nice. Thanks. And Rochelle?
Hey, I'm Rochelle. I'm 17 years old and I do psychology, criminology and French at Baswick.
Awesome. Great. Thanks, guys. So this week we're going to be talking about testimonies with our guests, specifically your guys' testimonies. But first of all, could you just share how you are connected to Holland Road and how you've come to be here today?
Great. Thanks, Sophie. Well, I might need to just start back quite a few years ago. In 1998 is when I first arrived in Brighton after just finishing my engineering university course. And I came down originally to work as an engineer. And I found Holland Road. Someone from the church invited me to come along and I loved it. Really felt God's presence, met with him both during the services and afterwards, got to know people. And yeah, it was a kind of a wonderful church family home. Sort of winding forwards, I then got married and we kind of very much settled into life in Brighton, Laura and I. And then in 2002, I got asked to leave my engineering job and be the assistant pastor. And then in 2007, after the previous minister had gone to lead a church in Atlanta, Georgia, in America, I was asked to be the senior pastor. And so that's kind of how I've come to be here and on this podcast today, which I'm very excited about. So thank you to you both.
Great. Thank you. Rochelle, what about you?
I used to go to the Iranian service on Mondays. at Holland Road, but then one Sunday we just randomly decided to come to Holland Road instead. And then my sister enjoyed it so much because there wasn't many kids at the Iranian service and there wasn't anyone my age either. So we both just were like, no, we prefer it here so much. So we decided to come every week. And then I started to help out at the hub and going to HRY as well.
Fair enough. How old are you, Rochelle, when you started coming to the kind of English service?
I think 15.
Okay, cool. So not too long ago.
Yeah.
Great, that's really interesting.
So, Georgie, what about you?
Yeah, so obviously I know Sophie through university and we met through our university's Christian Union. But even more exciting, we're actually going to be living together come September when we're back in Winchester, which I'm so nervous about. And yeah, she invited me today to be a guest on the podcast, which I'm also super excited about.
Nice. So would you be able to share your story of how you came to faith? David, we'll start with you.
It was a real privilege to do that. I'm really looking forward to hearing the other stories as well. Always a joy to both hear people's stories of how they came to faith and to get a chance to share my own. I was really privileged to grow up in a Christian family. And even at a really early age, I remember my parents encouraging me kind of to develop my own faith. One of the things my dad used to say, I think partly from his own testimony and story, was that, you know, he came to realize as he was reading the Bible that God didn't have any grandchildren, that he used to often quote to me, you know, John 1:12, where it says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right," Jesus, "to become children of God." And this wonderful picture that actually, as we believe ourselves in Jesus, that we become children of God. And so I remember even at a very young age asking my dad if I could pray with him because I wanted to have a personal faith and invite Jesus into my heart. And actually, it wasn't long after that that we moved as a family out to Kenya. And that really helped kind of my faith grow. I was there until I finished my schooling until I was about 18. And it really is a sort of strong culture of faith in that country. And a lot of my parents' friends, seeing the impact in their lives, had a big impact in my own. But it was when I was at university that I think my faith was really tested and grew in a different way. You obviously have a lot of freedoms and had to kind of choose what I wanted to do with my time, and really got involved in the Christian Union and decided as well in my time at university that I wanted to get baptized. And I think what was pivotal for me at university was I was always a good kid at school. And I was a good student, and I think I was aware of, you know, people used to say, well, my behavior seemed better than others, you know, but actually I knew that I wasn't good enough for God. I knew that actually I couldn't sort of build, you know, with confidence on my own, trying to do things right. And actually what I came to realize is that actually building on what Jesus has done for me was a far, was the only solid foundation. And I remember when I was baptized, I chose to read some of Philippians 3, where Paul writes, you know, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." And you know, to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but one that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And that was really key for me to be able to say, yeah, I know I've had many privileges in my life, you know, real privilege of growing up in this Christian family, of the kind of schooling I had and the time out in Kenya, and then was at university at Cambridge, and, you know, had just many, many blessings and privileges. But actually, I came to see that what is most precious above all of that, far, far, far greater, is what Jesus has done for me. And what he's done for me, he could do for anyone. He died and rose again so that I could have life and a relationship with him, and not just for now, but forever. And, you know, I remember just growing in my love and delight in the Lord, and still find that there are stories and sort of testimonies along the way of just realizing that God is more amazing and more wonderful and more dependable than I ever thought. And yeah, some of those were even around that time of being, you know, asked to consider being the leader in the team here at church, when I felt so unable really to do that in my own strength. And I remember God speaking so clearly to me that my inability was no limit to his ability, and I just needed to keep trusting him. He is utterly dependable, and it's been and continues to be just a joy to walk through life with him and knowing his help. And there's plenty of challenges still along the way, but just seeing him time and again be so faithful. So that's just something of my story.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you so much. Yeah, I find it really interesting how it starts from such a young age, from since you were a kid, you know, wanting to pray. And I've always been really inspired, David, by kind of the way you pray. And I remember chatting to you one time and you were just showing me like the prayer app and all these different people you pray for. And I think it's really interesting that, well, that was one of the things in your testimony that started since you were a kid. But yeah, it's really, really, really inspiring. Rochelle, would you like to share for us as well?
I was brought up in a Christian family, like David, and obviously we went to church most weeks. And both of my parents were quite involved. So I was spent a lot of my childhood at church or at like events that had to do with church. But I don't think I really had like faith, and I think it was more just a label that I just put on myself. Like, I didn't know what it meant to be a Christian or have a good relationship with God. But I did always really value it because it impacted my life so much, because we obviously had to leave Iran because of like our Christian faith. But I'd say I came to faith when I was at a Christian conference with the Iranian church back in 2017, I think. And the whole conference was very touching. And I made friends that I'm still very close to now, even though I haven't seen them in like years. But at the time, I used to have really bad headaches and I'd get them every day. And on the last night of the conference, I asked for prayer. And when the pastor prayed for me, he put his hand on my head and there was like this massive rush of warmth to my head and I was just healed like right there. And then for a very long time, I didn't get any headaches. So it was like a very big miracle. And then I think a year after, I decided to get baptized. So, yeah, that's it really.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I always think stories of healing are so powerful because you can't deny it. It's so, you know, tangible how God moves there. Thank you so much for sharing that. Georgie, what is your story of how you came to faith?
Yeah, so I think the first thing that's important to mention is that I did not grow up as a Christian or in a Christian family. And it wasn't until I came to uni that I first encountered Jesus. I came to uni with a lot of trepidation about what my time there was going to hold. And I was really doubtful about the choices I'd made and wasn't confident that I had too bright of a future. And I think looking back, these feelings definitely stem from having a complete lack of purpose. There wasn't much I felt I was particularly good at, and I felt like I was just existing rather than living, which was the complete opposite of all my friends because they all had a drive and a passion for something and I just couldn't relate. I felt like I was the only one in this situation, and so I came to uni thinking that it would be the same. So I felt quite lonely, and then it was exaggerated by being in a place where I didn't know anyone and no one knew me. But then in the first couple of days, I met my friend and he was a Christian. In fact, this was one of the first things he mentioned to me. I first expressed an interest in his faith and we talked for a while about his beliefs and the lifestyle he led as a Christian. And I can't remember the words he said, but I can explicitly remember the passion he spoke with when he was talking about Jesus. I'd never heard someone speak with such love and conviction about God before, and I was really intrigued. And I think my interest was quite noticeable as later that day, he actually invited me along to a Bible study that he was going to be doing each week with another one of our friends. So obviously I jumped at this opportunity. However, I did have so much apprehension as well. I had absolutely no Bible knowledge and was so scared of saying something stupid. But I went along anyway, and both my friends, Josh and Katie, showed me endless patience, kindness and encouragement throughout the whole session. And not once did they ever judge me on anything I said. And so we did the study and I just remember absolutely loving it. Never before had I thought that I could be loved to such an extent that someone so perfect would take my sin upon themselves and endure the suffering that I deserved. And at the end of the session, I distinctly remember Katie praying. And when she prayed for me, I instantly felt a shift in the way I was feeling. I felt the Spirit for the first time in that moment, giving me a sense of comfort and reassurance and wholehearted security that I'd never quite experienced before. And so from this moment, I knew that Christianity was something I wanted to pursue. So I continued exploring Jesus. And after a bit of time, the only conclusion I could come to was that he is the truth. All the evidence backs up who he is. But what I think really led me to put my trust in him was the feeling in my heart and in my soul that I got when I started living out my life for him. It was just pure fulfillment and satisfaction that couldn't possibly come from any earthly thing. And since I became a Christian, Jesus just continued to work incredible things in my life. He led me to an amazing church and to the Christian Union, two places where not only I grew in my faith week by week, but two places where I met the most encouraging and loving brothers and sisters in Christ. However, I do remember that when I eventually accepted Jesus as King, I remember feeling such an extortionate guilt for neglecting him and partaking in very ungodly acts for the first 20 years of my life. But God gazed upon these dark areas of my life, and rather than recoiling in horror, he simply just wiped the slate clean when I asked for his forgiveness. There was no hesitation or judgment. There was instant forgiveness, proven by like the sheer feeling of liberation I felt after asking, which just further consolidated to me his infinite goodness. And for so long, I just felt this void in myself that nothing seemed to fill. But God's power was made perfect in this weakness, and he transformed this weakness into his strength and filled the void in my life that only he could satisfy. I think someone once said in a sermon that God had performed surgery of a spiritual kind on them. And I couldn't explain God's work in my life over the last year in a better way. I came to uni without really knowing my purpose. And then less than a year later, my search for purpose was over. Not because I'd found my purpose, but because God had given me one. Because he'd created me with one and he'd now revealed it to me. I have a purpose and identity as part of God's family and a sense of incredible belonging that I know I could never get anywhere else. My purpose is simply to serve God and go out and share some of that love that he shows me every day. And it's honestly the best purpose to have, just having that privilege to serve the one who gave us life and the one who is the creator and the sustainer of all good things. It is what ultimate fulfillment is. And I think the best news is, though, it's not just my purpose, but it's the purpose of everyone who chooses to follow Christ. And I think that's just amazing. And I think that's the one thing that I want everyone listening to take away most from this. That amazing purpose is yours or can be yours too. And when you live it to its full, it is just so worth it. But yeah, that's it really.
That's amazing. That's really inspiring. Thanks so much, everyone. It's really great to hear different testimonies. And yeah, just thank you for sharing those different reflections. The next segment is called the Playlist Extravaganza segment, which is where we ask our guests to add one song to our playlist. So if you guys remember from last season, we had the Inspiring Songs to Sing in the Shower, the two episodes. And because so many people love that, we thought that each week we could just add a song, or in this case, three songs to that playlist. So starting with Georgina, is there any kind of songs that you've been listening to recently that you would really recommend that have been inspiring you?
Yeah, I think especially through lockdown, my all-time favourite song at the moment is Another in the Fire by Hillsong United. There's a lyric in this that goes, "And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and the reckoning?" And basically what this is saying, that there will be times where we will be in that space between where we don't know where to place our footing or what to hold on to or what we should be doing in a particular situation or a tough season of life. But in this song, God is telling us, don't worry, you'll be okay because I am here with you. Jesus is right in that battle with us and he's holding us and urging us to keep pressing forward. By singing this song, we are basically declaring that no matter what the tough seasons in life bring, we will not bow down or give in to what the darkness wants, but instead we will stay strong in our faith because we're reminded that God is with us and he is way more powerful than the darkness could ever be.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. That's really great.
Love that.
Yeah. I'll have to have a I don't think I've heard that one before, so I'll have to give it a listen. What about you, David?
So the thing I thought of was actually a Swahili song that I've been enjoying, a Swahili nice. Worship song. I grew up in Kenya, and so during lockdown, I've discovered a thing called Radio Garden, where you can listen to radio stations from anywhere in the world. So I've been enjoying listening back to some radio stations from Nairobi, where I grew up. And one of the songs, which is on the Spotify kind of Kenyan worship playlist, is a song called Mungu Mkuu, so sung by a worship leader called Evelyn Wanjiru. It just makes me smile so much. The sense of joy in worship in Kenya just really kind of comes through. My Swahili is pretty poor, so I don't understand all the lyrics, so I can't give a fantastic kind of description like Georgia just did. But I've found it, it's just been a great joy to me. And fun little thing to add on to the playlist.
Nice. I love that you can feel the joy through the song without having to understand all the lyrics. I love that. It's really cool. Thank you.
Yeah, I find it really interesting, just like the diversity in songs that's starting to come out. So there's some that are kind of more, you know, more recent, and then we have some hymns, and then we have some of Mike Bray's songs, which are like from the 80s. And now we have some from abroad as well. So I think, yeah, it's just really interesting kind of mix. What about you, Rochelle?
I think I'd say the song called The Way, and I think it's sung by the people from Soul Survivor.
Yeah.
And it's just because it just keeps like repeating, you are the way. And I think when you're like younger, it's quite hard to like try to listen to God, and you just want to do your own thing a lot of the time. So I think it's really like inspiring to just be like, no, I should listen to what God's trying to tell me to do and not do my own thing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, guys. That's really cool. That's all the time we have for today's podcast. This has been an HRBC Encounter podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Georgie, Rochelle and David, for chatting with us.
You can follow us on Instagram at encounter_HR. We post a new podcast every week on Wednesdays, so look out for that. And we're going to be doing more on the Instagram now. So just to let you guys know, we're going to be maybe asking some questions and little bits and bobs like that.
Yeah. And if you want to get involved with the podcast or help out in any way, get in touch with me or Josh and we can chat a bit about that and what that could look like. David, would you like to pray for us?
We'd love to. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you always hear us when we pray. And I thank you for these wonderful stories of how you've been at work in our lives, Lord. We thank you for Georgina and just praise you for what you've been doing in and through her while she's been at university, and just know she's got a big heart for her church and for her friends who began connecting before lockdown with the church. But Lord, I pray that you would, wherever they're at now, Lord, just keep helping them grow and help the church as they seek to reach out in different ways at this time. And Father, for Rochelle and just the pressures of work and studies, I pray that you particularly help her as she prepares to go back in the autumn straight into exams. God, please just be with her over these summer months and give her the grace and the strength she needs. Lord, for Sophie and Josh, thank you for what they're doing with the Encounter podcast. Bless them in it. Lord, Sophie's new job, just pray you'd go ahead of her in that and over the summer. And Lord, for Josh starting uni in the autumn, Lord, I pray that you would help him as he prepares, and Lord, go ahead of them both in these coming days. So Lord, we praise you that you're a God who just loves us and is for us, and use this podcast for your name's sake. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, I just pray for David. Thank you for him. Thank you for all that he does for the church. And I pray for him as he leads the church, as lockdown measures start to ease, and as he figures that out with the elders in the church, and also as he leads his family. And in this time of lockdown, as he spends more time with them, I pray that you bless him, bless his wife, bless his kids, and yeah, just be with them all. And I pray, yeah, thank you for this time on the podcast, for everything that's been said. I pray for the people listening, that they will really be blessed by these testimonies, and that they'll be inspired to go and share your good news so that more testimonies can come out of this. Thank you for this time, and thank you that you're here with us today. Amen. Thanks so much, everyone. See you next Wednesday. Bye.